Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains, episode 146. I'm Joe Steinkamp, and hey, JJ is back, and it's the gruesome twosome for more than two episodes in a row. This is really weird. I'm not sure how to feel about this. How you doing, my friend?
Crazy. I like it, though. You know, it's just doing math, which is not always my strong suit, but we're going to hit 150
Absolutely, before convention, which is pretty cool.
We have nothing planned for 150, but hey, that's still kind of a cool thing coming up in before convention.
Sesquicentennial convention.
Some interesting stuff there for sure. Hey, you know, we got some things coming up this week. You know, I went to Google I.O., right?
I may have heard once or twice. Yes.
And there may be even more coming, more audio coming this week and perhaps even beyond this week. This week, we're going to talk to Victor, who, of course, you're familiar with, Victor Sarin, and Brian Kemlar, who is newer to the Android accessibility team. Been with Google for a while to talk about Android, whatever P stand would
yeah,
tell
whatever
us that.
That's gonna
they
stand
wouldn't
for
tell
yeah.
us that. But we got some interesting things talking about Android P and what's up with Brailleback and other things like that. So that's coming up a little bit later on in this episode.
We actually have a bunch of news for a change. You know what
we do? You know,
really interesting.
Right? We didn't. We kind of held off. You know, schedules the way they are. Sometimes we're recording on Wednesday this week instead of Monday or Tuesday, and that has gotten us some extra news, eh?
Yeah, it's very nice to be able to report something positive in regards to Balm. So this came across the wires. David Bradburn put it out on the list. And then it kind of germinated out there, and more information has come about that.
Nice.
You like that? I like that, yeah. Okay. This is what happens when I get an extra day of sleep. And the news is pretty good for Balm. It seems that there is a company that has purchased the assets. Is that what I understand, Jay?
It looks like. So we don't have a lot of details yet. David posted a message to the Balm mailing list saying that he was contacted about perhaps doing some stuff for the new Balm and that the assets have been purchased for the Vario Ultra and other things. Now, we don't have much details. The Balm.de domain name has now been redirected to another company, which we don't know much about them.
Another German company.
But they have a slogan, and we translated it. It's the sea with different eyes. Aids for the blind and visually impaired, but we couldn't find much else about them. It kind of looks like it's a hospital or medical of some sort, so it doesn't appear to be a help tech, handy tech, or something like that. It's definitely not a VFO or anything like that.
Well, you beat me to it. That's exactly what
company.
I was about
right.
to say.
Right, so it's not anything like that.
DE did not mean Delaware, no.
So, you know, even by the time this episode comes out, we may know more, but we do know that there might be at least a glimmer of hope for the resurrection of the Vario Ultra and the other things that Balm does. So we'll definitely keep tabs.
Super happy
on
about that. Super, super happy that the number of people who felt resigned to, like, oh, I got to get a Focus now, or some other Braille display, like they felt helpless, or they ran to Blind Bargains to sell the Vario. We saw a couple
They still are coming through.
And several of us in the industry kept saying, hold on, you know, it's not over yet. You may be a little hasty there. And it looked like
I get that, though. I mean, it's not very often.
Sure.
It's not very often that an AT company pulls the Family Guy move and actually comes back after it's gone.
That's true. That's true.
It's a pretty rare occurrence. So
now we need to get David to come in and do that whole spiel that Peter does when they return and talk about all the companies and products that are gone from the time that Palm was.
Well, if all of those products get canceled.
Yeah. Now, if all those shows should fail out, we got a shot, is a classic line. Cyber Times on Twitter, that's Cyber, the traditional way of saying T-I-M-E-Z on Twitter. I came across this news, and Jay, you've seen these glasses. I have not, but the cool thing about these, and the reason why I retweeted it, was that they are working with some major partnerships like Microsoft to use Seeing AI already in glasses that are like Windows-based Intel Toshiba based glasses or something to this kind of thing.
Well,
kind tell
of
me more
no,
about what,
they're
what
actually
this is.
If, you know, if I'm remembering everything, they're actually Android based, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
They're using Seeing AI. They're one of the many smart glass companies, and I saw them at ATIA and mentioned them a bit in the Access World article I wrote for ATIA. But they're using the Vuzix smart glasses, which are in themselves a $1,500 pair of smart glasses, and then they're adding their own software and adding a bit more cost to it. So it ends up being around $2,500, which is cheaper than a lot of the others, but you know, it's still a cost. But hey, they've added Microsoft's online OCR, free video chat with Skype, Alexa support. Yeah, you. Gosh, we do this every episode.
I know.
We should start doing the bleep out thing on those, shouldn't we?
That's true, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. But I will say, out of a lot of these smart glass companies, these guys seem to be one of the ones that are really trying hard to put a lot of value into their product, you know, not just some basic, oh, we're going to do some basic object ID and just leave it alone. They do seem to be putting a lot of effort in trying to put a lot of value in. I mean, because there is a lot of value in glasses, I think, if you have the software there and if you put some stuff into it, I think there's potential. So I...
Hands-free operation is certainly a big part of that. And to do some of this, they freely state on the webpage that it cost money, which rightfully so. It costs money to develop these things. And $200 isn't too bad in the grand scheme of things. I mean, certainly that's what we're seeing with Envision AI, what they're charging for an American subscription. So there might be a market value to all of this, which is really not horrific in the grand scheme of things.
I'm trying to figure out where we go next. I'm looking to make you happy with the segues and to make me happy with... No, a lot of different things going on in the tech world. I'm just not going to segue at all. We're just going to go straight over to NFB. Convention's coming up about a month from now, and we just got some news in from NFB. A pretty famous musician going to be there on Friday evening. Apple the App, who is one of the members of the Black Eyed Peas, along with Will.i.am and others, is going to be performing... and a concert there at the NFB convention in Orlando. So that's
Please bring the Tron suit.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Super Bowl. They wore Tron suits. Oh, they were so cool. Oh, dude, they were awesome.
Tron. Got you. If I was on the Ira, that
was
yeah,
if that was audio described back then.
They didn't have it that year. So of course, Black Eyed Peas have done lots of songs. Of course, you know, Where Is the Love and I've Got a Feeling. Much other. So is that a lawnmower behind me? Well, you know what,
Patrick, I mean, Smith, they why not, it's different than a train. It's
not totally, much we totally can do different. About that, sorry.
No, that's more of a Jamie Paul's leaf blower kind of break in the action there. You know, you can already go to the FS cast and hear about the latest things that are going to be happening at summer conventions. By the way, if you didn't already download your May update for JAWS, you should, especially if you're going to use Firefox 60.
Hey, we just talked about this in April, but there's a lot more Firefox news in version 60 with the May JAWS update. So just lots of scattered fixes and also a lot of stuff I noticed for Excel and PowerPoint and Word users. So lots of stability. That's what you get in these, you know, these mid-year updates, but they pretty much been coming out every month. And I do give them credit for pretty much coming out with monthly updates to the software and kind of trying to fix things and improve things as you go along. So yes, that's out as a free update for...
To JAWS 2018. Yes. And I would also say that Patrick's plans of having a Klango channel for convention is going to be dashed. Yeah. Good thing you moved us to Skype Slack.
It's kind of funny. We had this, a lot of the same reactions have come through this with Klango when we shut down Zoom BBS. Like, what? That was still around.
I was going to actually, that was my original transition, but you know, it was like, we've been losing a lot of social networks over the last year. And
everyone's stuck on Vireo now. But no, Klango was a pretty innovative first-time audio social network. This came up around late 2007, 2008, 2009. Actually was nominated. I've looked on their website, on the Klango website, on their about page, and then part of their about was nominated for 2 Blind Bargains Access Awards. Like, A, that's cool, and B, wow, we haven't done that in a while.
I was about to say.
And they still have that as like part of their about, but it's down.
Yay.
Now.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Can you know what we need to do is we need to do an article like we were reading the cascade of people who had won the Hall of Fame honors into my Apple Viz. We kind of have to do
and
the
Seeing
same
AI's
thing.
Seeing AI's added to that, right? I believe they won that now.
Yep. So Seeing AI and Weather Gods. We don't have it in the show notes, but they actually were the two apps that were inducted into the Hall of Fame. And there was a lot of nice conversation going on between the app developers on Twitter. Which I thought was really neat.
Like Dolphin was kind of like, hey, you know, congratulations.
Dolphin, Envision, blah, blah, blah. Really cool. Land Olivia, all those guys were very, very complimentary to one another.
this is kind of niche, but it kind of fits along with this. Maybe next year's Hall of Fame winner could be this. This is a new accessible mind mapping application in beta, which, of course, Tangela jumped right on top of that because she loves this stuff. It's great for writers. I know we have a lot of people that like these things. Mind mapping is kind of visually organizing your thoughts and, you know, parts of a story or parts of a, you know, a concept or whatever. And they are, from the beginning, wanting to include accessibility. They say it's going to be a freemium app, and they do specify right there, we will never charge for accessibility features. That's good. But they are taking beta testers right now. We've linked to that in case you want to help influence a new app, which is always cool. Then they want to do accessibility right out of the gate. We always appreciate that.
It's always interesting when I read stories that have been done about mobility and mind mapping and how some people are more organized than others when it comes to delineating maps in their head and how that they can 3D vision some things or 2D vision some things. Very, very interesting how different WinM approaches play into that. And the same way that some people like some types of games and other people don't like games at all. They don't find some of the things that are out there that you might read about on AppleVis very interesting. Others are huge defenders and players of games such as those from the Blindfold Games Pantheon. Marty seems to be reaching out, though, and wanting to do something different and breaking into more of the visual education market, or so the survey of the week says. Ah.
And you could win an Amazon gift card. Hey, there you go. He's going to give away 50 of those. That's a pretty ambitious little survey. But yes, I mean, in Blindfold Games, lots of downloads, lots of users, lots of educational potential. And in my opinion, there's not enough educational games for kids, especially on iOS and other platforms. So he has a survey especially targeted towards teachers and parents, you know, of blind students. So if you are one of those or you're in that your area, go check this out and take the survey, because, you know, I think there's lots of potential, I think, to take these concepts that are in the expanded core curriculum, things like that, and
believably, you know, jokingly call this the Bookshare voice dream approach. Education is a big market, and many people look into this, and it's certainly a great way to get your concepts across. But better than that, it gives Marty a whole new canvas to play with that will give him more ideas for all of his products. So I think this is really interesting to see a developer reaching for new markets.
And he mentions other platforms. He said, so I don't think it's going to be just iOS. When he mentions this survey, it looks like it's going to be on other platforms as well. So that'll be good for him to branch out as well, which is really cool. So,
and I'm really glad you asked that question last week during Be My Eyes, because I think it was neat to hear a developer kind of say, no, we've had an amazing response for Android. I think that was really good to hear, because we've had on this program, I don't know how many times informally, the conversation about where the market is and what the market is inside the United States and what the market is outside the United States are vastly different.
Vastly different, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I will say
that interview last week kind of put a capper on it. And I think maybe we'll see that too with the Special Olympics in 2018, which are in Seattle. They're going to have a gaming tournament. Maybe you're not the best decathlon type person. Maybe you're just kind of more sedentary and would work really well with a controller. Well, I got news for you. You could actually be a part of Seattle's expensive. You could actually be a part of the 2018 Special Olympics for Xbox doing Forza Motorsport. So Forza Motorsport is a racing game, and they actually just added drag strip racing into the game. And there are assists. Justin Eckes and a couple of others are playing those type of games where they are using the assist. So they actually just speed up and slow down the car, and they have steering assists on with that. But with the dragster stuff, you're in total control, because you have to, of course, accelerate and do timing in order to get the best run in the game. And Microsoft is already on board, since it's right there in the backyard, and they're going to be doing the first video game tournament in the Special Olympics, which is really awesome. Tangentially, they also posted the Channel 9 videos from the Gamers Accessibility Conference, the second one that Ian spoke about, Ian Hamilton, back in our CSUN coverage. And so those videos are now online and totally worth it. You've got Sightless Combat, talking about a paper he did about gaming around the world and in different approaches. Karen Stevens talking about how things changed over at Electronic Arts. Just a lot of great gaming content to go along with the video that came out, the adaptive controller. We talked about it very briefly last week. It was announced on Global Accessibility Awareness Day, and that sucked all the air out of the room. That was so amazing to see mainstream coverage of the new controller and how people were using it, how it was built over the last 3 years. Bryce Johnson, who had a great chance to talk to when I was in San Diego, he, you know, outlined where this was going, how it was a passion project for him, what they hope to see out of other things. Phil Spencer, who is in charge of Xbox, said that they would freely share the technology with Sony and Nintendo, that they weren't holding it. They weren't being gatekeepers because they wanted to see more people game. Special Effect and Able Gamers both were involved in it. So it doesn't necessarily have a direct impact on blind players unless you have a multiple disability, because it's really designed for people who might use Switch access or might have some motor impairment problems. But there are things you could do to program with the USB on it to do certain things that would make life a little easier if you feel a little bit encumbered by a bunch of buttons. But amazing stuff.
Yeah. So Joe's, and that's looking just for sponsors. Barely
what we saw.
Joe's looking for sponsors. If you want to sponsor Joe.
I'm afraid I'm going to run into that blind Street Fighter player who would just wipe the floor with me. That guy's good. So there are amazing things that are going on in gaming, and that barely even touches some of the stuff that was coming out at the God.
You need your own podcast for blind gaming. You don't want to start another podcast.
You know, I was talking to BGFH and Michael about E3 and what we could do, because you know, that's my jam. Got E3 and WWDC right around the corner. But some amazing stuff is going on in gaming, and I think it's really neat. And that's without me even talking about PlayStation 4 and their update and how it came up after the update with no speech. In fact, PlayStation actually tells you text-to-speech not available. That's what it tells you when you go into a screen and there's no speech.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
at least you know there's no speech, which is great.
Needs accessibility. Yeah,
that was a mandatory update.
Yeah.
I use seeing AI to read my Sony PlayStation. So there you go. I used a Microsoft product to read a Sony product. I think that's really funny.
We have a lot more coming up in the show. I see somehow you stuck two stories in the last four. I don't know how you do that, but I guess.
One won't take very long at all.
Oh, I promise. Is that how that works? And we definitely have some HumanWare and Iroh and other feedback and some other stuff coming up in Sound Off, and a tip that I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, but we'll figure it all out coming up on episode 145. But first, yes, Mountain View, Google I/O, Android P. Well, we talked to some people about that. So, you know, for those of you that are waiting for WWDC and our coverage of that, well, I don't know. We have not heard much.
Gotta slog through all this Google and Windows 10 stuff first.
We'll see. We'll see if it even gets a whole show at this point. I mean, maybe we'll just stretch it out because it gets ratings. But, you know,
that's true.
That's true. You know, I'm sorry. Apple announced nothing. We're going to talk about that for an hour. But Google Android P, that is available for beta now for a variety of devices, which is a new thing. That's cool. I talked to Victor Sarin and Brian Kemmler from the Android accessibility team about the latest in Android. Take a listen. We are here in Mountain View, Google I/O. I have found Victor Sarin and Brian Kemmler, who are both with the Android accessibility team, among many other hats they wear here at Google, but here to talk about the latest with Android P. What's P stand for? No, they're not going to tell us. Hey, guys, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much.
So Victor was the first voice you heard, and Brian, you're newer to the company, right? You joined last fall?
I joined the team last fall, but not new to the company. I've been at Google since 2007.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, welcome both of you. Thank you so much for taking some time. So, of course, while we were at the Android accessibility, the What's New keynote or the session a couple days ago, Victor was speaking there. Actually, you both were speaking there, right? So go ahead and tell us a little bit of some of the highlights of accessibility. We'll start with TalkBack, but then we'll move on to other stuff as well for Android P.
Yeah, so with regard to TalkBack, mostly what users are going to see is the new improved focus management, and there's lots of sort of tweaks within the system UI in Android P. As some of you may have heard already, there will be a new interface, new gestures, and things like that. to open, you know, recent tasks. And so our primary goal at this stage was to make sure that TalkBack will work with all of these new enhancements that are part of Android P.
So how do we take, so we have like the recent app, which was a button. I mean, obviously there was a TalkBack gesture already. Right. Are we just going to use that existing TalkBack gesture? Or
It will be using, you will have to swipe up with two fingers when TalkBack is running, and that will pull up recent apps. And at the bottom of that screen, you will now have what's called app suggestions. And app suggestions basically will be the apps that are most frequently used by the user.
Okay.
So say, and it's not just apps, it will be also, say you've been calling your friend all too often, so Google will say, you know what, I might just want to put it on the suggested bar so that you don't have to open the phone app and do this again. So they will try to see what are most frequently used operations that you perform with the phone. And in the recent view, you will now have the suggestions bar that you can pick those most frequently used operations from.
So for a blind person, how predictable is that list going to be as far as, because obviously we can't just glance at the list to know what's going to be there.
Well, I mean, it will be just accessible just like any other list.
Right.
It will just be able to traverse it with one finger or like touch explore. Other than that, you know, it's the same AI, it's the same algorithm used as for sighted people, so there will be no difference in terms of...
Sure. But you, after a while, you'll get used to like what types of things will appear there. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And we will also provide contextual information. Like, for example, it'll say, you know, call Brian Kemmler, or it'll say, oh, play latest hits on Google Music. So you will know that this is not just an app, but this is actually an action.
And these are actions that developers can easily, or they can add to their apps.
There will be new APIs available, but for now we're mostly concentrating on the Google specific actions, you know, like I said, the phone related, you know, music related, YouTube related, whatever is that you're doing with your phone, that is our primary focus that's going to be surfaced in that suggestions bar.
Anyone can use the APIs.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And like a lot of these features, as they evolve over time, there'll be more people that will figure out how to tie into them and how to make them.
Yeah, just one last sentence on this. So just for blind listeners, basically what's going to happen, if you can imagine the screen, when you open the overview of recent apps, at the top part of the screen will be carousel composed of the most recently opened tasks. So you basically can swipe left and right between those tasks. And the bottom part of the screen will now have this suggestion strip with suggestions, which will be refreshed based on the, and it won't be refreshed in real time, but every time you pull up this view, it will contain whatever operations you've been using most frequently. So it'll be very easy to use with TalkBack. There should be no problem at all.
Forgive me if I misheard, because we hear a lot of different things going over the last 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
The recent apps view for a sighted person, they mentioned something about giving them more app snippets now as opposed to just like the name of the app. How will that work for us?
So visually, I think you will actually see, I believe, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there will be like a screenshot of the app so you can actually see how it looks. For blind person, you will hear just the name of the app, and then there will be some custom actions you can perform on that task, like close it or split screen into two, and so on and so forth. So for us, we've decided to simplify because it would be super confusing if we tried to expose parts of the app as part of the text exploration experience. So it will be just basically, you know, imagine like you open Gmail, right? You open the recent apps and it's going to say Gmail and it's going to say actions, you know, close, dismiss, split screen and whatnot. But
yeah,
for sighted users, there will be
a tricky compromise, right?
It is a tricky compromise.
It could be a custom action later to say, you know, read
could be
app snippet or something.
Well,
like
but the thing is that you're just double tap away, so you can just double tap and open the app in the full view, right?
Then you're there. Then you're right.
Yeah.
Then you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, for us, if you wanted to see part of the app, then just open the app.
Yeah, because you know, if we expose the whole structure of the app in the recent apps, that would be like you'd have to swipe. For every app, imagine there'll be so much extra stuff out there. So
it's easy to see that maybe they're hiding things, but actually, right, for interface for us, it probably does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's lots of visual candy in there, and you know, there's a compromise to be made always. You know, what's useful and what's not.
Small change, big change that I know a lot of people have been clamoring for: the volume key shortcut.
Oh yeah,
we no longer have to wait an eternity to turn TalkBack on and off.
Yeah, so let me explain briefly how this is going to work. So of course we heard feedback, and you know, this is very much right feedback that we got is that just wait too long, 3 seconds. The reason why 3 seconds was introduced is that there was a little fear that people may accidentally turn the feature on. But of course, as you can imagine, for somebody who's using the feature a lot, this is a lot of time to wait, 3 seconds, right? Yes. And so the way this is going to work now, the first time you launch accessibility shortcut dialog, you'll have to press the volume keys for 3 seconds. Once you launch the service, like TalkBack or whatever you're using, from then on, it will be just a 1 second delay.
Which makes a lot more sense.
Oh, much more.
Is that customizable then? Is it always be one second?
At this point, it's not customizable. You know, these are sort of design decisions that went into that. But for now, it's not going to be customizable.
What about other ways to programmatically turn on and off TalkBack, such as perhaps using the assistant or doing it using gestures?
It's something I probably can't discuss right now, but we obviously heard feedback loud and clear, and we hope to have something that we can be proud of and something you guys will enjoy. But right now, there's no news that I can share.
Okay. Some of the other things that from Android P, they're kind of the developer-focused things, but they end up being helpful for us. I guess you guys expanded some of the ways that apps can display headings and other information.
Yes. So there's a new API that allows a developer to declare headings on anything, well, on any text view. So if you have a list of items and it's preceded by a text that says this is a list of items or this is shopping list, you can now turn it into a heading and TalkBack will pick it up. And as you know, since TalkBack 6.1, we do have heading navigation already. So now this will supersede the former sort of hacky headings we had before. So we're hoping developers are going to start using these more because now it's so easy to make something into a heading.
Does that visually change how it looks?
No,
or is it not. It's just for accessibility?
It's just for accessibility.
It's kind of like how you have headings in Google search that don't really look that much different. But
yeah, so the name actually is Accessibility Heading, which clearly indicates that this is just for accessibility purposes. There will be no visual change.
So can you also create a heading out of text that would not actually not be visually shown at all and to say, I want to put this context in for a blind person?
If the text can be seen by TalkBack, then yes.
Okay.
But if it's not, obviously, if it's hidden completely, then no.
Okay, awesome. So that's another thing for developers. What else are we looking at for TalkBack and P?
So there's one API we talked about during the What's New, and I'll try to simplify it so it's not too taxing on people's ears. So in Android, we have two kinds of windows. So there's like full windows, which is like when you open a new application or you go to home screen. This is a window, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of these sub windows, so they're always also called panes. This is familiar for people who use Windows, for example, multi-pane documents and things like that.
Yep.
And so we now have possibility for developers to mark up these sections that are not actually windows, but they're visually changing. They're doing something. They're closing, opening, dropping down, pulling up, and things like that. They can now, declare them as panes, and TalkBack will treat them as if these were, other windows. And then when the user will explore the screen, we will actually notify the user when they move from one such window into another.
Yeah, because a lot of times you have those screens that they update, but TalkBack never got an alert that the screen opened. If you're going through like a flow of entering in account information.
Yeah, because we didn't have enough information, right? And so this API gives us ability, if developers, when they use it, it gives us ability to know that, oh, wait, the developer just pulled up, some tiny little window that's asking you to do something, So we might just tell TalkBack users like this window just popped up.
Are most of the changes that we're talking about, are these going to be exclusive features to P, or will some of them make it back into TalkBack for older?
Actually, so this is both of these. Actually, all of the APIs we introduced in this release will be backported into what's called Support Library. And Support Library is basically Google's way of making some of the latest features available to earlier devices. So things like headings will be available all the way down to Lollipop. Developers will just have to use Support Library because it provides work around to get access to this API without having to run P.
and it will come in probably the next version. I think there was a leak of a TalkBack 7 or whatever, whatever we're calling the next one on P.
Yeah, yeah. So it will be available when P is available.
And whatever the next one. Yeah, whenever P is.
Yeah, when P is available, you have to talk to our marketing department. I think they have that answer.
There's more than just TalkBack, though, and I know a lot of our users may be interested in other things. OCR on Select to Speak is one, and perhaps you have others you want to talk about as
Ryan,
well.
Ryan, would you like to take some?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to. So, yeah, we just announced OCR in Select to Speak. So this is geared toward low vision users or users who need help reading, such as people who are just acquiring language for the first time or folks who are dyslexic. So now if you open Select to Speak, or if you turn on Select to Speak while you're in camera view, you point it at any kind of text, text on a screen, text on a sign, you're able to select that text and Select to Speak will read it back to you. So we're kind of bridging the virtual world of the Android handheld device and the real world of, you know, basically any sign, any text that's out there. So that's a really exciting feature.
So we have Select to Speech that does that for low vision users. So if a blind user wants to do OCR in a similar way, would they use the Lookout app that we talked about? Would they use Lens? Or I guess there's multiple ways,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So this is interesting because an unintentional consequence of the way Select to Speak was designed, you can actually use this feature even with TalkBack on.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you drag your finger on the screen and there happens to be a text where you dragged it, TalkBack will actually speak it out. So I wouldn't say this is intended feature, so by no, please do not judge us if it doesn't work completely. But I tested it and somehow it actually works. I was able to recognize text on my coffee maker just the other day by simply, you know, having Select to Speak and TalkBack running together. So developers totally, they kind of didn't mean it, but they sort of meant it, and then just like, okay, it worked with TalkBack. Thank you very much.
Well, when I talked to the Google Lens people, if you haven't heard, they're going to add Lens support in to the camera app, and they were saying, I mean, it wasn't in the demo they were showing, it wasn't working yet with TalkBack, but they said, yes, well, but that's what he said. You know what? It has to work before we release it.
Yes, we'll work closely with these teams as well, absolutely, and we want to make... So the goal at Google is really to... Lookout is a really interesting project, as you already mentioned, but I think I don't need to talk about it because you already have it elsewhere.
Yep.
But I think at Google what we're trying to do is to let people do similar things from different, sort of in different products. So like there's no reason why Google Lens could not, you know, overlap with some of the things that Lookout is doing, you know, and similarly, Lookout will probably do more things that Lens does because Lookout is geared towards certain, you know, people who want to be able to do things hands-free, and obviously Lens is going to be more of an active experience, right? The user actually has to point at something and take a snapshot, and then it's going to be, you know, they will be notified as to what object is on the screen. There's more stuff we're working at Google to bring more sort of accessibility to the camera, to make camera more of a useful device for somebody who cannot see. And so you'll see more of this coming out, but the idea behind all of these advancements is that we really want the user to decide what works for them, you know, as opposed to like, here's one product that only one product that does everything for you and nothing else.
That's a session coming up in a few minutes. Might check out the creating the universal camera app. So definitely interested to see how that maybe you expand face detection to detect other things and help us take, you know, all sorts of different pictures of
you
things.
You never know.
Right, for sure. How do you deal with, obviously, I've switched personally to a Pixel 2 XL because just realizing that the Google experience is the best. And the same goes for accessibility. And I see a lot of users who write off Android because they picked up some $50 phone and it was sluggish or it wasn't working well with TalkBack, and then they give them a really bad impression of Android. How do you battle that and, you know, kind of try to create the best experience for accessibility for the most people?
Yeah, so, you know, I think we work with our biz dev people who are sort of responsible for developer relations. You know, I think there's a lot of education we need to do, you know, with our partners, with third-party developers, and we've engaged quite a lot, I would say, Brian, right, within the last 2 years, and we have Google Play Awards. We're trying to recognize developers who are doing amazing work. And, you know, I mean, the nature of Android ecosystem is such is that as much as Google would like to control all of it, it's, you know, not everything sort of in our ability to control everything that people do with it. You know, we try our best and, you know, we have partners who work with us. You know, maybe there's something more we can do for users, as in, you know, we try to stay away from like advising people what devices to buy, but we have been also more active in sort of, like I said, working with partners and with some programs like Android One, Android Go. You may be aware of these, right, initiatives that Google is trying to bring pure Google experience to other devices, not just Pixels. I don't know, Brian, do you have something to...
No, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I think, you know, we try to make, you know, the Pixel is like a reference device. We try to really keep that the best possible experience. But at the same time, there's a bottom-up approach as well, which is providing, you know, providing the APIs and the framework and the examples provided in that reference, so that everybody is incentivized to make the product experience on Android the best that it can be, regardless of form factor.
Is that one of the reasons, too, there was an announcement of bundling many of the accessibility services, including TalkBack, Select2Speak, into a single package? Is that one of the reasons for doing that?
That is one of the reasons. We also want to help discoverability. One thing that you know, we've learned is that, you know, everybody knows about TalkBack, right? And it's cool, of course. You know, I'm happy about it because, you know, I work on TalkBack. Thank you very much. But what about users, you know, who need to select to speak or switch access or accessibility menu or any other things, you know, we will be introducing? And so I think for discoverability, we need to be, you know, cognitive of the fact that, you know, yes, there are lots of blind people, but there are also lots of people who are not blind, or they may, you know, want to use other accessibility services. And that the reason we wanted to package some of these things in Android Accessibility Suite is precisely give more prominence to other services that but also
just to clarify, so TalkBack has always been a bundle that's contained, not always, but, you know, at least
for a long time.
Mm-hmm. TalkBack has included Select to Speak, it's included Switch Access.
Exactly.
And so the change of the name really reflects not only the sort of past and current reality, but also the future direction of the product, such that when we add new services, like some of the ones that we talked about here at I.O., like Assistive Menu, those will become part of Accessibility Suite, and those will ship out to users of all different abilities on all different platforms.
And speaking of, as these services expanding and reaching that next billion users, which is a term that's been thrown around a lot this week, I'd be remiss to notice there has not been, I don't think I've heard at all, any mentions of BrailleBack. I know there's been a beta, and I know there's been work in progress. Where is BrailleBack at? Is it a priority at the moment, and what's the future looking like?
So, you know, we have, you know, added features to BrailleBack, and as you know, the most requested things like great to input and output. We've added support for Orbit 20 reader and some other new Braille displays. We're hoping to release it actually pretty soon. I would say in coming weeks that the full version will be coming out. And then, yeah, you know, again, Accessibility Suite will be a platform that we might leverage for future development of BrailleBack.
Yeah, looking especially at users who, you know, it's even more difficult to enable BrailleBack without sighted assistance.
Exactly. Or like, you know, when you want to use both TalkBack and BrailleBack, you know, right now you have to go download separate apps and things
right.
like that. You know, Suite might help us to unify. This is not just sort of like from the strategy point of view, but it's also from the code point of view. We need to sort of figure out how to make these applications work together, so we're rebuilding some of the common libraries they share and things like that. So,
right.
you know, it's a work in progress.
It ends up being a lot more in the weeds. It's not as simple as just flipping a switch
and saying not at all.
I mean, obviously,
and if it was, it would have been
right. I mean, I know you guys want Braille just as much as the many users that have asked for it. Is there a possibility of being able to run BrailleBack without TalkBack in the future?
Or? Well, you know, nothing is impossible, right?
Anything else on the horizon that we should be aware of as far as new features or things coming in P or in the future? Yes, and you can't tell us, probably.
I'll lean on back Brian. Maybe he has something
that
he wants to say.
No, I mean, we talked about accessibility menu, sound amplifier. There's another talk today about that, so we're doing work for users who have mobility and dexterity challenges, as well as folks who need a little bit of assistance or a little bit of enhancement to ambient sound quality.
So this is new as well. The Android PvP beta, public beta, is available now. People can sign up if you have a Pixel and some other devices now in the Android One program. Where would you say TalkBack is? Should a TalkBack user go get a beta at this point, or should they be or hold on for a little
bit? I would say if it's definitely pretty much ready. So, you know, like any beta, people can expect there might be some things. Right. I definitely can promise there won't be any crashes or any... Nothing like that of this sort, but some things might misbehave. Like there may be too many announcements. There may be some things will speak out they're not supposed to. No curses, of course, but
but
I think if somebody's adventurous soul, obviously keeping in mind that it's beta and we don't advise people put it on their production phones. It's certainly it's as much of a go as for every other mainstream user,
Those, the recent apps and that type of the new gestures, are those working now?
They should work, yes.
Okay, awesome. So if people are getting the beta...
Oh, and by the way, I want to take this opportunity that if people do try these things out, we please want to hear from
you. That was my question.
Yeah, there is feedback channel. There's feedback channel. There's also, right where you sign up for
what do you prefer? I'm guessing you don't prefer trying to read every single message on Eyes Free. Although you do a pretty good job of trying to keep up with that, but there must be better ways.
There's some discussions that go way
right.
off track. I mean, I super appreciate people's feedback, but oftentimes it just...
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, but that's a separate topic. I think probably feedback... It's okay to send feedback on the list and maybe just making clarifying the subject that what feedback is for. I like when people start new threads as opposed to responding. But there's official feedback. You can go to google.com/accessibility. There's a get in touch form. Whatever you can lay your hands on in terms of feedback, as well as official Android developer feedback forms, we are in touch with all the people that are involved in Android and accessibility work, and this feedback is going to seep back to us.
And there's the feedback right in the TalkBack app too.
Absolutely. There's feedback, help it feedback link in TalkBack. People can do that, and there's also feedback pretty much on every screen. I think if you go under settings, there's help and feedback link almost on every screen. Utilize those utilities and the feedback will get to us, that I can guarantee.
And if we see other Google apps that have accessibility issues, does doing the feedback through those apps, where those that feedback will get to the right people eventually?
Absolutely, feedback is being looked at pretty seriously. I can't obviously put the timelines as to exactly... But people are looking, this is important. Company really cares, and the feedback is being read, so it's not going into some kind of memory hole. It's there. It usually, we actually have a lot of tools where they will take feedback and turn it into a bug right away. So it gets rerouted to us one way or another.
Hey, thank you so much to both of you for taking some time at I.O. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, what food are we grinding up this week? There was a lot of conversation about this after it got out there. Not just Lifehacker, but after we put it out there, I actually spoke to people about this and putting Doritos on pizza and various things. So I expect your tip is not food related, although I did think of you with the new smart containers that will tell Alexa when your food has gone bad.
Oh, good. I could use that.
Yeah. Well, you've been out so long, you might not know how old some of the food in your refrigerator is. So it might be a very helpful smell thing test. To have.
It is the smell test and some of the other stuff.
Carbon dating more like it for you, my friend.
Hey, it's the spring, and that means another new release of NVDA 2018.2 coming up very shortly. A big change that you will notice if you haven't already been playing with the betas and alphas is a new configurations and settings setup. So, before you had a big, long list of configuration and setting options in NVDA, well, let's see what we have now. I'm going to do caps lock N on my laptop. If you also had a insert key, of course, you do insert plus N as well. This brings up the NVDA menu.
NVDA menu.
And we're going to press down arrow.
Preferences up menu P.
Preferences. Now, this is nothing crazy new, but let's go into here.
Settings. S.
Settings. Now, this holds a whole bunch of stuff. All these other things that used to be under settings. Let's see if we go down arrow, first of all.
Speech dictionary submenu D.
See, we lost everything else.
Punctuation slash symbol pronunciation P. Input gestures N. Manage emoticon submenu E. Settings S.
That's it. That's all that's here now. All the things that were on this menu are now, let's press enter.
NVDA general normal configuration dialog categories list general 1 of 11.
The cool thing about this is now you have 11 settings categories in one list. You can kind of go through and make changes and then have one apply or OK button. So we have categories, general.
Speech 2 of 11. Braille 3 of 11.
All the ones you've seen before.
Keyboard 4 of 11. Mouse 5 of 11. Review cursor 6 of 11. Input composition 7 of 11. Object presentation 8 of 11. Browse mode 9 of 11. Document formatting 10 of 11. Windows 10 OCR 11 of 11.
And then you just press tab.
Recognition language. Combo box English. United States. Collapse Alt plus L.
It's not even like Windows 10 where you have to select it first. No, you just press tab and you got the one that you want and you can go through the different categories and then
okay button.
Let's see here.
Cancel button. Apply button.
You hit apply. If you're just going to hit okay, you don't even have to hit apply. You can just hit okay. But if you wanted to apply it and stay in the settings menu, you could do that. If you pressed okay, it takes you back out of the settings menu.
Categories.
Let me show you
general one.
A couple little things here.
Speech 2 of 11.
So before
synthesizer grouping, synthesizer edit read only multi-line alt plus S, ETI eloquence.
And I'm not sure where this changed. Before, you could choose your speech synthesizer right there. Notice how that said read-only. That means it's just showing it to you. If you want to actually change it, you hit tab.
Change. Button alt plus H.
And press the space bar.
Select synthesizer dialog. Synthesizer combo box ETI eloquence collapse alt plus S.
I think they did that so you just wouldn't accidentally change your speech synthesizer and lose it right away. So there's eloquence.
Microsoft Speech API version 5. Speech player and SDAC. Windows 1 core voices.
All the usual. If I wanted one core, press enter.
NVDA. Speech.
Hi.
Model configuration. Dialog. Change.
And now we're back right to the speech menu right there.
Synthesizer edit read only multi-line alt plus S. Change. Button alt plus H.
These have gotten a lot more responsible for time too. Let's go back to eloquence.
Select speech play. Microsoft ETI.
Works the same way for braille displays too. So you won't accidentally switch off of your braille display, which could be really bad if you're trying to read from it. So there you go. This is coming in 2018.2. If it's not visible to you yet, you'll see it either when you get the release candidate or the final release of 2018.2 this spring. If you want to try out newer NVDA features earlier, you can get the master branch, which gets kind of updated with new features as they get released, but after they've been tested for a bit. And if you want to be way on the cutting edge, then you get the next branch, which is pretty much things just as they're released. Sometimes they break, though, so be a little careful on that and be ready to go back in case you need to. We'll put links to this stuff in the show notes. Of course, nvaccess.org for NVDA. And also, don't forget to donate to nvaccess for the great work they do over there.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Email that came in, actually lots of it. And, you know, either we have a lot of it or not much. So this time we actually have a lot. Email and Twitter. We'll focus on the emails this week. This coming in from Bob and Margaret. Did they co-write the email or was it just Bob? But he is a...
Hey, they're very inclusive. Hi, guys, and sometimes gals.
There you go. He's a Victor Trek user, so he's a big user of all of the HumanWare products and had some concerns with the Victor Trek doing longer vehicular routes. And, was told by HumanWare there's going to be an update coming, but there's been two or three updates and nothing yet. So I know these things happen, especially with new products, and you can't get everything fixed in 1.0. Hopefully it is something that can get fixed. They added audible support and some other stuff, so obviously there's various things that they're working on, and hopefully I did actually send this on to one of our contacts at HumanWare to see if we could get any further update on this. This came up because we as an AT Guys are selling the Trek now over at atguys.com. Is in the interest of full disclosure, we do have that product now, but we definitely we present the feedback as it comes in because we want to be fair and transparent, and of course we're going to check on this one and see what's going on, and hopefully we can get an update from HumanWare and what's going on with that. And of course these updates are free. So hang on. We'll see what we can find out about the Trek.
And there's also alternatives. One of the things we didn't put in, but I could have put in the news, was did you see the stuff about Blind Square GPS and all the stuff they were doing on
God? So there's some more. Yeah, there's lots of, we need to do a little bit of thing. Lots of indoor navigation stuff.
Mapping type stuff is really coming
with
on.
With them and APH.
Bank of America is going to do some stuff here in Charlotte with beacons, which is crazy.
Yeah, I hope we can centralize under one system. That's going to be the big
thing. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, too.
I'm afraid if you're going to go to the airport, like, oh, crap, which app do I need to load to get around this airport? And so, I
remember saying something back in January about that. And also in regards to AIRA, or as your screen reader may or may not say it, Ira, someone who wrote us after that episode, Orko, wrote in again, not too far after the episode. He was very critical of what we had to say at that time, and rightfully so. Again, we're not judging the service. We were just talking about business aspects. But Orca wrote back on an episode and gave us some thoughts about him using the service and why he actually might put it on hold for a little bit. And, Jay, if you want to read through this and paraphrase, you can, but, this is a really interesting thing that's been going on. I know several people in the community over the last week have been kind of saying that they would like Ira to take on a pay-as-you-go philosophy. That's going to be really, you know, weird. We're back to the business model again of that's hard to predict. Businesses like things that are finite and fixed. That's very hard to project numbers and costs and overlays. Not everybody can do a pay-as-you-go kind of philosophy.
Yeah, so I'm looking through this message that he's talking about having some issues with equipment not received when it was promised, and minutes not getting reported, you know, as he would expect. You know, a lot of technical type things, and you know, so I think sometimes these come up, especially with a growing and new company where, you know, it's really hard. And you know, being a small business owner, I recognize this. It's really hard to manage the growth and have enough resources on hand to take care of everyone that needs help while not overspending on resources that are sitting around and doing nothing. I'm not saying that to give any excuses to Ira, because I know they still have some things from the technical standpoint to work on, and they need to hopefully you know, air out some of these and be a more stable service and be, you know, a little easier to use and make sure these things are happening properly. You know, the horizon.
It's a weird,
you know,
they were learning.
The Horizon thing was a big thing. That
I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's a weird stage to go from startup to larger company to global expansion, which is what they're doing between working with RNIB, CNIB, and Vision Australia.
To 200 horizons in 2 minutes. You know, so there is certainly... Yeah,
that's crazy to think about in relation to how big this company is getting. And every company has growing pains. It's the same way as the Victor Reader Trek. That product isn't even a year old. And so those who get in for early adoption kind of have to help and be constructive with their criticism and work through it, especially if they believe in the product or service. And Ira's no different. They are in a position where they're having to explore these things.
I will say Ira has been pretty good at, you know, if you are having issues with the service, they are in a position to quote unquote take care of you as far as service. And then, you know, they're not trying to, at least in my experience, they're not trying to bilk you out of money. That if you feel like you spent money and you weren't getting the service you were promised, definitely talk to their support people. You know, I can't make any promises or anything, but they definitely, you know, they're proactive, like a lot of other companies are. So I'll, at least given that much, I should say that Ira has sponsored us recently, but I try not to cross that over in our opinions. We try to be, again, like I said, fair and balanced as much as we can with these things. And, you know, we would say this with any new company or any newer company that's coming out, and we can tell is trying.
It is a very interesting time, as we discussed way back in January and a couple more times after that. We all have to learn how this technology works together. And again, no value judgments. If you have the service and you like it, great. If you have some things that you would really like to see about the service, they've been very open to that. In fact, I think in the conversation with Greg back in March, he mentioned how much they've listened to their subscribers.
Yeah, none of these are perfect.
What shaped Horizon.
It's really interesting to follow them. Really interesting to see them evolve, though. And you know, we have some people. Chansey's doing a whole research fellowship on this stuff, on visual interpretation, which would be really fun.
She's been posting a lot of neat stuff about Be Specular and Be My Eyes and doing the same task with all of them with Seeing AI. Fascinating stuff. If you're not following Chansey on Twitter, you should.
Go back last week's show. We did talk a little bit to Alexander from Be My Eyes and about their award and some of their plans for the near future. So that's back just 1 week in episode 145. We also recently talked about a speaker.
Oh, yes. David. David talked about the Polk Bit Boom. And Orko said that he thanked David for that recommendation when he was talking about this in the Victor Reader Trek, and that it is a pretty decent little speaker. So it's one that you wear on your lapel, and I've actually seen it go on sale since that episode has aired. So Best Buy has actually put it on sale once or twice. They've been putting Polk, Onkyo, Denon and one other type of receiver on sale a lot lately.
Well, of course, their own Insignia stuff, but
that's true. I don't know if you saw the Saturday Night Live joke, which was really funny. They said that Best Buy was changing their logo and people were reacting differently to it. And they had the Best Buy logo and then they clipped to the Amazon logo. So that was their joke, was Best Buy was becoming Amazon.
Well,
coming up is an Amazon tradition. If you didn't know, Twitch, the video service that's used by gamers initially, but now it's like a mini YouTube. People are using it as a broadcasting platform. Twitch has been famous for doing these stunts. One year they did Bob Ross and all the paintings, and then they played Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood from start to finish. Well, JJ will have an opportunity to learn more about The Good Doctor and the TARDIS, because they're going to do, for 7 weeks, a marathon of all the original episodes of Doctor Who that are available, that are not missing, from 1963 to 1989, Jay. 7 weeks.
My calendar's booked. My calendar's been entirely booked. All 7 weeks.
You can start watching it go all the way to convention.
All 7 weeks. Why does this convention, we didn't mention the Starcade Marathon when that was out last year. That's much more exciting.
That was much more exciting than this stuff. Because I'm giving you an opportunity to find out why this property is so beloved by many out there.
You're more likely to get me into Rick and Morty than this.
Okay, well, that too is the third season Blu-ray. And I don't know if you knew, they got renewed for 70 episodes.
I saw that.
So, yeah, this is going to be a lot
of... You're more likely to get me to try peanut butter and Cocoa Pebbles cereal.
Yes, peanut butter, Cocoa Pebbles has been spotted on store shelves. This is my actual last word. I had a toss between this and Oreo Churros, which are apparently also in the freezer section here.
Wait, Churros or Cheerios? That's actually two different things.
Churros. No. There is an Oreo cereal that tastes like stale chocolate cookie crisp, if you remember the cookie crisp back in the day. But there is Oreo cereal on the shelves, also Nutter Butter cereal. We talked about that before, believe it or not, in Last Word. Walmart has Nutter Butter cereal. This is cocoa peanut butter cereal that is starting to show up on store shelves even as we speak. The Oreo Churros, actual Churros, are available too, but I've only seen them in the freezer section in very few grocery stores. But I'm on the lookout.
I don't see the peanut butter Cocoa Pebbles. They're not on ship.
I didn't see them in shipped.
I looked here too, and they're not.
Not
you know,
yet.
You know me, I always gotta look up these foods, you know, when these come up, and you know.
Now, what you could put there, I did see them at Target, is Kettle Corn Oreos. Kettle Corn.
Oh, okay. So when we get Target here, available. When the agreement ends, we get Target for shipped, then we're good here.
There you go. Target usually has all the special Oreos in case you're ever looking for them.
Did you lived in Texas in high school, right?
Oh, yes.
Did you go to prom?
I went to someone else's prom. I did not go to my own prom.
Okay, you went to a prom, you know. Okay.
I went to a prom.
But I think I don't think you did this, and this seems like a missed opportunity for you. Uh-huh. We have a story here about Texas teens posing for their beautiful prom photos at Whataburger.
That's almost as good as the Taco Bell wedding. Oh my gosh. Water. You know, that is not a surprise. I can actually see, I totally could see that. Tux and corsages in the drive-thru window. Totally. You do know that Whataburger sells their mustard and ketchup. Ooh, you can actually buy it in grocery stores, and you can actually have it shipped from HEB.
It was lifelong friends. They attended as a platonic pair. It was their preferred hangout after school sporting events. And, you know, she's according to the
photographer. Well, that's romantic. Yeah. It's not like he's a cheapskate, you know? Besides, you know, Red Lobster would be crowded. Olive Garden, you could get something on your tux. That'd be a bad idea.
These young adults are fun, energetic, gorgeous, and hungry is what it says here. So.
There was an old joke we used to have at high school that the more you ordered at Whataburger, somehow it became cheaper. The more you ordered, for some reason, there was some weird, some quantum math that was involved, especially if you use their taquitos. And by taquitos, if you've ever had a Whataburger taquito, you know they're not really taquitos the same way that Jack in the Box tacos are not actual tacos. They're some form of other food group that has formed into something exactly resembling a taco.
I'm just amazed at the number of Whataburger stories. You know, they have like other related stories. Awesome. And there's a whole host of Whataburger stories under the related news. You know, Texas man rides horse into Whataburger, dances on tables.
Not a surprise.
Theft's leave Texas. Police with more Whataburger order tents than Whataburger.
I got to go do more investigation. I'm off to Whataburger. Absolutely. So, no, dude, it's a great burger, man. That is. A-frame Whataburgers are great, too. You were just in
Texas. It's my favorite of the fast food burgers. And if you want to compare all the good ones, Austin, I think, is the only place that I know of that you can get a Whataburger, a Shake Shack, an In-N-Out, and I think Jack in the Box are all there in Austin.
Yes. And Amy's Ice Cream and Freebird Burritos. Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah, lots of other stuff. I mean, if you want to try all these big burgers, you can go there.
So good. The other thing that's really good about Whataburger, if you didn't know, is other than their breakfast, which are just amazing, is that they have the mustard and ketchup that we mentioned a little bit ago. And again, if you go to HEB, they're a grocer in Texas, you can look it up. They have, maybe I'll even find the links and put them in the show notes for their ketchup and mustard. And I know people who will actually drive across the state to be able to get that kind of stuff if they're in a state that is near a Whataburger. Mm. It is definitely totally worth it. One little thing, though. There's one on 290 in Houston over in the 43rd and 290 area. Never order anything that's dark related as far as colas are concerned. Always order Sprite or a clear soda because you will never get what you order. Never. The lines are always mixed. I'm pointing you out right there. 290, 43rd, right there.
Uh-oh.
Right there.
Sounds like a lot of personal angst.
Sprite. Totally Sprite. Because you order Dr. Pepper and it will never be Dr. Pepper. It'll look like Dr. Pepper, but it won't taste like Dr. Pepper.
Wow. Okay, I was going to say this talk is all making me hungry except for that. We got to go, though, in time for dinner and some other things. But
that's true. We got to work our way up to episode 150. It draws ever closer, and we will have another conversation with Google from Google I.O. We have WWDC. Unless Scott is here,
then it'll be ZZZZ. Oh.
Yeah, and the aforementioned D3, and so much more to get to before we actually start looking and casting an ear over to St. Louis and Orlando, possibly for the very final time for NFB.
We'll see. We should know where we're going to be next year. Well, hopefully we'll know that by Orlando. We will have AT guys will have a table in Orlando. We know we'll have a table there. St. Louis, we're working on doing something. We're not able to do a booth this year, but we will hopefully do something. We're going to see what we can figure out. Maybe we'll just, you know, pop up in the lobby or run around the bar. I'm like, hey,
Starbucks,
you want to buy something? Right. For a free keyboard with the purchase of a latte.
And this should be the other way JJ's around. JJ's going to write in on an Anheuser-Busch Clydesdale. Just right on into the convention, start dancing on tables. I'm down.
Lots.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Lots of cool stuff there.
It'd be an amazing way to promote our company. You know, you can find out more about these things, including some of the stories before they actually make it to be stories here on Blind Bargains Cast by following me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. Talking a little bit more about accessible video gaming, because that's what I've kind of gotten back into now that one major contract has ended, which has allowed me more gaming time. So you might see a little bit more about that.
Cool stuff there. Of course, twitter.com/BlindBargains is what I monitor for tweets and other things. We had a bunch of them that came in for this show. We'll talk about some of that next week, likely. Some interesting discussions about accessible credit cards and
thank you for all that. That was a lot of stuff. Yeah. We'll definitely talk about that next week because we're still getting it in at the time of recording. But
a lot of you had
thoughts about Credit Karma and the like. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Thank you, Patrick Perdue, for making us sound better than we actually are. And hey, thank you to your guests.
Yes, thanks to Victor Sarin and Brian Kemmler from Google for coming on. We do appreciate it. All the work and the things that you guys did for us at Google I.O. And thanks to Kendra as well for helping to organize a lot of that over at Google I.O. We do really appreciate that. I also wanted to give a shout out to Shelly because I was on the Resurrected, again, Parallel podcast. So that's parallelpodcast.com. More Google I.O., yes. Yeah, but it was myself and Shelly and Florence from Material and All About Android. So always cool to talk to the mainstream hosts. And, you know, I learned as much as she did about that. So interesting to see different perspectives from I.O. And hopefully we'll get some more parallels. It's a cool idea for a podcast for sure. So again, parallelpodcast.com for that one. You can email us as well, feedback@blindbargains.com. And if you have other comments, be sure to send them over. But that's it, right?
Is, gonna, yeah, that's hey, that was action-packed. There was a lot of stuff there.
Lots to of unpack. Action, yes.
And it was nice to actually have stuff to cut from the news list, so you may hear about that next week. But thank you again, everybody, for passing around the podcast URLs and telling your friends about us. Again, we are experiencing a very large number of downloads, so we appreciate that, and we love that you guys are sharing our content and letting other people know about it. And of course, if they're not fans of podcasting, maybe they don't want to dedicate an hour to this show or more, depending on how it goes, remember they can always read the show notes, and that can be a big help as well, just to have people spread around that information, because that's really what it's all about.
Before we go, I also want to just say a big thank you to all of our military men and women heroes as Memorial Day comes up this Monday. And of course, a big time to remember those who fought and died for us and gives us the freedoms that we have today. So Memorial Day, again, one of those holidays. It's not about your sales at your local electronics store. It's really about some great heroes in our country and beyond. So
damn straight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your service. Absolutely. And if you have an opportunity, learn more about going over to Blinded Veterans Association. It is a great way to get to know people. If you want to help out that organization, bva.org, one of the best conventions I've ever done in my life is being able to talk to those who have served and help them with resources and understanding blindness. It is a major time, and it's a great organization. Well, that's going to do it, everyone. We really mean it. We're going to close now. I know it's hard to believe, but yep, going to see you on 147 in just a few short days.
See ya.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.